Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bigamex Radio Podcast. This is an episode of Moto Albums. Now, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're going to want to go find Bigamex Radio on YouTube so you can actually enjoy the visual side of this podcast, because this is one of the things that's near and dear to my heart. I love photography. Magazines as a kid, like many people who are probably listening to this, probably looking at the pictures more than they are reading the articles. Maybe that's on me, but either way, absolutely love photography, and I love talking to photographers about their shots. I've done these in the past. This is the first one for 2025. This is Moto Albums, and with me on the line is Derek from DNC Photography. Derek, how's it going?
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Is it Derek Croker or Derek Crocker?
Crocker, like Betty Crocker.
Like Betty Crocker. Yeah. And you've been cooking up some tasty licks with the photography lately, man. Before we sort of... What's that?
Said trying to bake the goods, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And have them delivered to your many clients that you have on race day. You and I connected over the weekend. I said, hey, why don't we pull the trigger on one of these? You seem keen on it. I think you're going to do some live streaming later on today. So you're just Mr. Media Guy, like left, right, and center here on a Wednesday. But before we get into sort of some photos and sort of like analyzing your photos and kind of like what was so special about the specific moment, let's get a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of like Derek Crocker, the photographer, how that came to be, and where you're at now.
So for me, it kind of like started with a smartphone, honestly. Got a smartphone, took it outside my backyard, started taking cool photos of the dumbest stuff ever, and then finally asked for a camera for Christmas, got a camera, and that eventually led me to the dirt bike track with my friends. Started taking a couple dirt bike photos here and there, and then, you know, that got boring, started doing some weddings, some portraits, did that whole shindig, which I still do every now and then. But then I finally was able to afford my own dirt bike when I finally got a real job. And I was like, oh, this is sick. Taking my dirt bike, definitely taking my camera to the track. We're going to do this thing. Started going to the local races, shooting a bunch of kids at the locals or bunch of kids from the local races and whatnot.
Where is local, by the way?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so that's not too bad.
No.
Got quite a bit around here. Club.
You're near my other co-host, Zach Heron.
Yeah.
He flies in and out of there all the time.
I was going to say Zach. I didn't know from Zach from Imperative, but no.
No.
Different guy.
Different Zach. No C or no H.
Gotcha. But yeah, that's kind of how that started, dude. And then, you know, after shooting a bunch of local races and learning that I could make money selling photos that way, I was like, this is fun, but, you know, I want to, like, all I want to do is shoot one pro race. Like, I just want to know what it's like. And then that's when I just started begging people to let me in. That's kind of how I got my start. You know, that's not my main job. I work for the airlines here and there, or not here and there. I work for the airlines, and that's my main job. And then I fly out to the races on Friday and shoot Saturday, edit all day Sunday, come home, and the grind continues for however many races we got, like 33, I think, 34.
Yeah, it certainly does. It's 31 total races. And it's ridiculous what, like, now it used to be, there was one time where it was 16 supercrosses and 12 outdoor nationals. Now we've cut back one national, kept how many supercrosses, and now we have three playoff rounds. As now I'm having a hard time with my screen sharing because I tried to do something and then I fucked it up, which is awesome. Continue telling me your journey as I do visual gymnastics here.
Visual gymnastics, love that. So like back at the whole begging people, like, you know, most people that follow like professional moto photography and want to get into it know that it's super duper hard to do. It's really hard to get a credential. So the way I kind of did it was I was just like an annoying little asshole, honestly. I started going to started going to local races, and then that led to qualifiers, Loretta Lynn's. Luckily for me, Verb Moto decided to come around to North Carolina and do a couple of their Verb Classics and Verb Shred Tours, which are amazing events if you can ever get out to one.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing that, went out to a couple of those, shot for Wes and whatnot, and then basically begged Wes to, you know.
He likes when people beg, so that helps.
Yeah. I luckily for me, a lot of people, I tell people this all the time. I'm like, dude, if you want to get a start in this, like, you really got to, like, hound these people. Like, let me shoot one race for you and just show you what I can do. And I hear it all the time, like, oh, I messaged him, he never messaged me back. Well, yeah, that was me too, but I freaking just hounded him and kept showing up to their races. It was like, yo, dude, like, I'm shooting this for you. You know, you like my work. We're cool. Like, you know, how about that credential? Can we make it happen? And after about 3 solid years of busting my ass and, you know, shooting locals and Verb Shred Tours and qualifiers and traveling all over the state of North Carolina and Tennessee, I finally was able to get in, and it kind of, one thing led to another, and Moto Playground saw my work somehow, and, you know, that's kind of how I ended up with them and currently with them. So it's pretty cool.
It certainly is. Yeah. And what I love about that story is you faced resistance, you faced the adversity of trying to get into the motocross industry, and you didn't quit. There are so many people who like they put themselves out there. I went out on a limb and tried, and I got denied, and they don't try past that. There is like, and on top of that, you're also just continuing to work on your craft, and to the point where, and this is a big thing for me, is that I've told this to other content creators in the past, is you essentially have to become undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
If you are that diligent, and if you are that hardworking, and if you are willing to bring that much value, at some point, if your services are useful to the publication that you're asking for, they're going to have to give you that opportunity to at least lose that privilege, right? Yeah. So, kudos to you for first of all putting yourself out there, but also sticking to it. Is it time to go through some of your work?
Yeah, dude, we can.
All right. So, first thing that comes off of mind, and I don't know if are you in contact with Justin whatsoever? Because I need to speak with him, Justin Varsha. I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, dude, but he's so sick on a bike.
He's so sick, and he's the clutch destroyer. Although, you could argue now, Eli Tomac is trying to take that crown away from him.
I ain't kidding, bro.
But last year, before the season, I made a reel about how tall the starting blocks are getting,
mm-hmm.
and Justin Varsha happened to be the subject of this because his starting blocks were like, oh, I don't know, about an inch lower than his foot pegs.
Really?
A week later, I am blocked by Justin Varsha.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. You can't be blocked by Varsha, dude.
Dude. He doesn't know all my accounts, which is good. So I can still see his stuff every once in a while. But, yeah, I haven't seen him in person. Because I don't think he was at.
I bet if you went up to Barsha in the pits or something and told
if
him.
If I told him, yeah, I know. I know how to talk to him about it. Yeah. But like, geez. Like, I'm like, why can't I see Justin Barsha's photo? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, dude. Blocked. Yeah, no, you got to get that taken care of.
Yeah, but so tell me about this photo of Justin here. This is from last year, obviously.
Yeah, this is last year. Don't know. I don't think this was a main event win. I don't believe. I think if in a heat race, or because I know he won.
It must be a heat race win because if he got a win last year, it was in the mud, was it not?
Yeah, it was at MetLife in the mud.
Yeah,
and he's definitely not muddy. And plus, you'd see like the orange from the flames and whatnot. So I think
that's right.
It was a heat race win, but bro, he was feeling it, and this to this day is still probably the sickest whip photo, or top 3 for sure. Mm-hmm. It's my current desktop background, actually, still for like 2 years now or whatever.
Love it.
Yeah, that, and then there was a couple different angles of this shot too that a lot of other people in the media pool got as well from different angles. But I think I was the only one that decided to go more to the side and try it. And I didn't know if I was going to do it. And at the time I was shooting with a D850 and, you know, DSLR, all cameras are iffy. Autofocus is iffy, especially when you're shooting in low light and you got all this crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't expect Barsha to throw the fattest whip ever, but luckily, like, I had my camera on him. He came over, he threw it, and dude, the 850 just, it almost screwed me, because I think he was blurry for like probably 5 or 6 frames. And then I snagged this one, and then the rest of the frames were like blurry. So it worked out at the perfect time. And it's just a sick photo, honestly.
It is. And if I was to describe how Justin Barsha whips a motorcycle, I would describe it as violent.
Violent. Dude,
he is like, violent.
He freaking throws the bike. It's that he's probably between him and Rocks, and they're definitely like my favorite to watch.
Very similar though.
Yeah. Barsha's kind of on a whole nother level when it comes to just tossy, flicky stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he brake taps and like nose dips that thing like so low in rhythm sections, and it's just like, it's the sickest thing ever to watch. It's like a madman. It's crazy.
No, it totally is. Like, I think I don't think that he can do anything aside from sort of like, I know he can do is the oppos, but like,
yeah,
he pretty much always does a turn down. Like, he always kind of like just makes the front end drop, swings the back end around, but he's always like, he gets the back end higher than most, and he can just like sort of like, he snaps it up there and then brings it right back. Like, a finish line double at a supercross is not a big jump. We're talking maybe 55, 60 feet at the very longest.
Yeah.
And it's basically straight up, straight down. And
I don't know how they do it. It blows my mind. Like, me, I'll go to a local track and try to pull a tear off, and I'm like, freaking out, because I'm like, I take my hand off for like 1 second. Mm-hmm. These dudes are throwing the fattest whips over these, like,
while pulling tear offs.
Yeah, while it's like the smallest jump really for them, you know.
Yeah, no, and like, or when you're at Red Bud and they like hit the fucking leap, and they just stab the back brake, and you go, and like the whole bike just dips. You're like, who's Prado was doing that at Motocross of Nations 2 years ago?
Insane, bro. And hopefully Prado's good for this year, because him and outdoors is going to be insane.
It will be. As a proud owner of two really shitty shoulders, I'm here to say that if he's back by Anaheim 1, or not Anaheim 1, like Hangtown / I think, is it now the Hangtown first round, or is it
Fox,
right? Fox Raceway. If he's back by Fox, I'm blown away.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my shoulder's the same way. It's always been screwed up. So
yeah, I don't like his chances. This was one of the first photos that you sent over. Like, what was the main reason why, aside from the fact that you just happened to snap this like just epic whip?
Yeah, honestly, this one, there's just not a lot of really meaning behind it, other than just Justin's an animal on the bike. And you don't really, and it's weird, because this year it feels like a lot of the dudes, minus the 250s and Deegan and Cole, like Deegan and Cole Davies are throwing some nasty ones, but like a lot of the dudes this year, they win a main event and they just do this like weird arm in their stomach kind of yes look.
Yeah.
No one's throwing like crazy whips anymore. Like, we need to bring it back. And, you know, Roxon, if he wins a main event, you can guarantee you're getting a whip. Barsha,
probably
going to get some crazy legs.
RC swag. And Stu were big on the whips.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we need to bring that back.
Yeah.
So, I like it.
I petition to bring back whips instead of the one-handers, but, you know.
I think that someone needs to bring a t-shirt out. Maybe I'll even petition my buddy Tim over in the UK to make a t-shirt out of this photo and said, make whips great again.
Yeah, make whips great again.
I feel like those would sell.
I'm going to do a whip in this photo for sure.
Yeah. No, there's no whip. Although, who's in the very back down there that's like kind of
coming up?
Who's coming up? Is that?
was Webb. Who this is 2021. Who was? I don't know who that was back then. This is
Cowie. Is that Anderson?
Oh, Cowie. Yeah, that's Anderson.
It's Anderson. Yeah, but he's in like, oh, you know what? Yeah, this is the when they all wore the Blue Angels.
Yeah, the military round.
Yeah, this is the military round. Okay, yeah. That's right. So this is San Diego of 21.
Yep.
It is messed up that we can figure that out based on one photo.
Like, oh yeah, I know it because that's one reason.
Vogel's still racing factory bikes. You know, it was a while ago.
Yeah, and freaking the story behind this photo is how I remember it being San Diego, because this one's kind of wild. But
wouldn't it be 22 then? Because Tomac wins a Supercross title in 20.
Was it this?
And Cooper Webb has the number one plate, so he's running the number one plate as the champion from the previous year.
Yeah, you're right. It could be
this
that.
Is 22.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just nerding out really now.
I'm horrible at keeping remembering stuff, but yeah, this photo was super sick. And it's crazy too. Like, the story behind it is why I picked this one.
Okay.
Honestly, I did something a little frowned upon. This was before I was getting credentials. I was like, you know what? Cause like working for the airlines, I was like, I want to go to like a Supercross race. And actually this was my very first Supercross race that I ever went to, which is crazy. But I was like, I want to go to like, yeah, like I didn't really follow the sport a whole lot until I got back into riding dirt bikes myself, which was like 2019. Like, I loved it during the Stu and Chad Reed days. And then there was like a long gap till about, you know, when I got out of high school till 2018, I think I stopped watching and stopped following it a whole lot. But I was like, you know what? I want to go to a Supercross race that's like a crazy one. Like, and people go to Atlanta, you know, they go to all these. I was like, I want to go to a baseball stadium. This is when they did it in Petco Park.
Yeah. I was at this race.
Really? Oh, yeah. Sick. So the story, sorry.
You're good.
I was working for the airlines and I was like, I'm going to go to San Diego. You know, when you fly, you have to kind of pick and choose when you're flying standby, like what looks wide open, what you can get on. It was like, San Diego is manageable. So I'm going to go to there and I'm going to attempt to, and this is frowned upon. I don't, any photographers out there watching, like, I wouldn't do this. And I get asked about it all the time and I still don't recommend it. But I took my camera. I looked up the rules for the stadium or whatever. And it was like, can't have a lens longer than 6 inches or whatever. And I was like, oh dang, my 7200 ain't going to fit. But I detached it. I threw it in like my little brother's bag, cause I took my little brother-in-law. And, getting there was the worst thing ever. Cause I live in North Carolina. We're not used to snow. We got to the airport the night before, I think it was Friday we were flying out, and we got to the airport the night before and it was snowing. So we get on this plane at like 11 o'clock at night in Charlotte and they want to delay it because of the snow. So we're sitting on this plane. I watched a whole movie before we pushed off the gate.
Yeah.
And we finally pushed off the gate and they're like, oh, well, we got to go de-icing. So we get in the de-icing line and we do all that. And then we go sit out there for another 2 hours. And they're like, oh, well, now we need fuel. So we had to come back to the gate, but it was already like 3 o'clock in the morning. And there was like, well, there's no crew out here to bring us back in the gate, so we got to sit here. So we sat on the gate. And at this point, I'm like, there's no way we're making it to this race on time. Like, I'd bought my tickets and everything. So we eventually finally got back into the gate at like, I don't know, probably 4 in the morning. And I was like, well, they canceled the flight. The next one's at like 7 a.m. So we just hung out in the airport till about 7. And then we finally made it on the flight and it finally took off. And we got there. We flew across from Charlotte to San Diego.
You still got there in the morning, though. It was a 3-hour difference.
yeah, we still got there at a good time. Like Fan mm-hmm. Fest was still going on, which Fan Fest at this race sucked because it was forever away.
Oh, and it's like there's like that. This is the broken up pits because it's Petco. Yeah. This is still dude. Petco.
So we finally made it. I didn't think we were gonna make it. We did, and then that's when I was like, you know what? All right, I'm gonna sneak my camera in here, and I detached my lens. I gave him the lens, and I kept my. I think I took my wide angle at the time. And I put my wide angle on my camera. And there was like, is your lens detachable? I was like, nope. And they let me in. And I got in there and I shot, you know, I was going down like almost near the safety holds where, you know, that's credential people are supposed to go. And I went down
yeah.
and I was shooting and had all these people, like security hitting me up and was like, you work here? I was like, yep. And I didn't know at the time that this was like a really bad idea. So I highly do not recommend doing it, because if you ever want to get in this industry and you do that and people find out about it, it's you're probably, you know, you're gonna paint a bad name for yourself. But it worked. I got this shot, and then I was like, holy crap, like how many factory dudes can you get in the air and like almost the same depth of field? And this one worked. And the funny part is
yeah, there's like $15 million in the air right now.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. Like,
anymore.
I still, to this day, even with credentials, I try to get a shot like this all the time, like, just to see if I can do it again. But it's so hard, like, just the timing has to be perfect, and it, you know, you're not going to have, like, this shot, people are going, like, four wide off the face of a triple.
Mm-hmm. This must be a main event, because everyone's there, too.
Yeah. Like, you have almost every factory dude in the air in one shot, which is mind-blowing. And I got back home, or we got back on the plane afterwards. And then it hit me that I accidentally shot the whole thing in JPEG. And I was like, oh, no. Like, I got, like, the worst sick stomach feeling. And I was like, oh, God, I'm not going to be able to bring these photos back and make them look halfway decent. But luckily, it worked out, and this shot was one of them. And there was another shot, like a wide angle of the stadium that I've always wanted to get. And I got it there at Petco. And that's kind of how this shot, the story behind this one. Really
beautiful stadium, absolutely love it. Let's move on to this next one here with the Cowboy from Ohio, by the way. Aaron Plessinger, AP.
Yeah,
fun to be around this guy. Like, you could be having a pretty shitty day, and if you see Aaron Plessinger, he might turn it around for you.
Yeah, he's every rider's favorite rider, pretty much. He's my mom's favorite rider. So this shot was sick. I love this. This was at Daytona, and Daytona is the only place, like, you don't see them. They don't really come up. Like, if you go to a Supercross race now, they have their like the podium. They used to, like, you know, they would a lot
yeah,
of
yeah, it opens up and
yeah, they'd ride out and whatnot, but they don't really do that a whole lot anymore unless you're like Jet Lawrence. But Daytona's podium is different. Like, they got that big, massive thing. And everyone was out front shooting it, and I went out there and shot a bunch. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go around the back and try to shoot something from the back. And Posty, which is Align's filmer, he was back there, and I didn't want to get in his way. So I think I, like, ducked down, or I stood behind him with my camera up in the air, and I just started clicking off a bunch of shots. And on the back of the screen, it didn't look that cool. It looked like really overexposed and whatever. And I was like, oh, that would have been sick. And then I got back home, started toying with it. And then it just came out with this crazy, almost like horror movie.
Yeah. It's like apocalyptic.
Yeah, dude. It reminds me of God, what's that movie?
Like a zombie.
It's the dude, Jeepers Creepers. It gives me like a Jeepers Creepers vibe with the hat. And I was like,
Yeah.
Yeah, you could slap Jeepers Creepers logo on there and be like, Plessinger edition. Yeah, this photo is sick. And I'm really bad about trying to recreate photos. So who knows? This year there might be another one with like Anderson or something with some green smoke. That'd be kind of cool. We'll see what happens though.
That would be cool. So there's a filter on this? Is that like, you've made it that way?
No. So this, like, they just had so much freaking smoke. And as he drove through it, it kind of engulfed him.
Yeah.
And kind of how it worked, and just kind of got like the top half. His bike was already gone, as you can see. But yeah, there was like no added.
It's crazy that the smoke, like, yeah, the back fender, nothing is poking through.
Yeah. And there's like nothing added to it. This is just all just straight. I mean, it's edited, obviously. Colors brought down.
Yeah, yeah.
It was super overexposed, but luckily when you shoot raw, you can kind of fix things. This is one that I'm going to eventually, like this year, I think I'm going to get a print of this. I only got one print so far. I want to start printing some more work, but I think I'm going to print this one for sure.
And has Aaron seen this photo?
I think so. Yeah. When I posted it, I think he reshared it. And then on my Instagram, RJ Hampshire was like, yep, this photo wins.
So that was pretty cool. Badass. That's cool. And that's saying something from those guys, because they've seen millions of photos of themselves, which might sound a little bit narcissistic, but it's the world they live in. The KJSC always produces some neat photos. It's a cool opportunity. This must have been during qualifying.
Actually, so
where is this? Right here,
this is
cool. It's a day race.
Yeah, it was a day race. Okay. And what's special about this one is, like, you know, obviously I shot a lot of local races around here.
Okay.
At my local track, which is freaking 30 minutes up the road. And this is my little buddy, Mason Bradshaw. And he's a local of mine. And this is at Denver, Denver, Colorado. And he got invited to do the KTM Junior Challenge. And when his mom like had messaged me and was like, hey, like Mason, we're coming to Denver. Can you get some shots at Mason for me? And I was like, oh, no way. That's sick. And they show up to Denver, and sure enough, Mason whoops everyone's ass and takes the win. And this is him coming over the finish line. And it's just cool to see like someone that you started shooting like when you were a nobody, and you know,
yeah,
they kind of follow you. And now here he is, like, you know, shooting him coming over the finish line. And he ended up going to the finale, which was in Vegas, I believe, or whenever they did the junior challenge finale. I don't know if it was SMX or if it was at the final round, but yeah, if you win the challenge, you make it to the finale.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep. So he made it, which was really cool, because then they got to go out there and do that. Unfortunately, at the finale, I think he got like one of the, like, I don't know if his bike was defective or whatever, but
yeah, I got a little bit. This is electric ones, right?
Yeah. So I think he got a dud that race or something happened, but he didn't do as hot, but it was just still cool to see like him out there and seeing someone little that, you know, comes up to you at the local track and it's like, dude, hey, you know. And I filmed edits of this kid and whatnot.
Yeah.
Bradshaws, they've always been cool to me and supportive.
I was going to say, the parents must love you.
Yeah, dude. They've always been supportive of me. So I definitely had to throw him in the mix for sure.
No doubt. Yeah. Taking home the win in front of the hometown crowd. That's pretty rad.
Yeah, dude.
All right. So let's switch up the flavor a little bit. Let's go four wheels.
Yeah. This one, dude, this shot was so freaking cool. And I didn't even know it was going to happen. But so a lot of times you'll see, you know, most media guys these days, like, they have their clicks, they have their shooters, they got their riders and clients and whatnot. And they, you know, you'll see them out at the test track shooting like super sick stuff. And I'm one of them people that, like, dang, like, I would love to be able to come out to a test track or, you know, show up at freaking Star Racing, you know, Carmichael Ranch or whatever, or Dog Pound, and, you know, do some like press shots and whatnot. But you gotta, like, maybe in a couple years I'll get there, but for now. But this shot, Gavin from Ayala Media, that used to be the Deegan's filmer and whatnot, yep, and did all that stuff, he hit me up and I was like, hey, you want to shoot Brian doing some Can-Am stuff? And I was like, sure, because they had just moved to, well, they had a house in North Carolina, but they had just built another one that was like 30 minutes from me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, I get to go out of Brian Deegan's house? Are you kidding me? I was like, I called out of work and everything. I was like, yeah, I'm going. I'll be there. So Gavin sent me out there to shoot this, and it was like Deegan doing some Can-Am work for stuff for them, and they wanted a bunch of shots of him riding it. And he was freaking sending this thing to the moon. And still to this day, my biggest regret is not asking for a ride in it, because he was giving people rides and stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, you know, bother him. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna step back. But damn it, if I could have gotten a ride in that thing with Ryan, bro, that would have been sick, because he was jumping and stuff, but I didn't. But this shot, he was like, here, go, I'm just gonna smash this berm. And I'm thinking to myself, like, dude, you're just
I don't
gonna,
think he
like,
said it like that. He said it probably more like, hey, I'm gonna smash this berm right here, Derek.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna smash the back of this berm. Maybe stand over there. I was like,
Derek, you wanna ride with me real quick?
Yeah, dude, I would have been like, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I was looking at the berm, and it's like, you know, a lot of berms are hard packed on the other side and whatnot. And I was like, dude, you're just gonna run into the back of this thing? Like, it's gonna snap the freaking arms, or you're just gonna plow into it and nothing, you're just gonna stop. So I'm standing here on the backside of it, like, all right, let's see what happens. Dude, he hit that thing like hauling ass, and I was like, he just come over it, and all this dirt's going everywhere and like hitting me and shit. And I'm like, just put the camera button, like, hopefully it gets something. And you know, that's kind of how this one came about. And just, dude, I wish I could have found like the full image when my hard drive was being dumb, but if you can see the whole
Yeah.
thing,
No, it looks blasted. That is super cool. And yeah, that's another thing I was going to talk to you about, is just like the fact that like there's a fine line, but like a lot of photographers, especially in this industry, they start out as fans. And you get an opportunity to go to these like practice tracks, or like sometimes, hey, one day you might end up going to Travis Pastrana's house. And as much as it's like very cool to be there, it's at the same time, it's a work day, and you need to be able to compose yourself to create stuff and capture things like this. Like, how do you navigate that, of just sort of like putting on your game face when they put on their game face, and do what you're there to do?
I mean, secretly, I think all of us, a lot of us, maybe not the people who've been there, you know, doing this for 20 years. I'm still pretty fresh at it, like years shooting pro stuff now, but on the inside, I'm fangirling. Like, even at the races now, like, some crazy event happens, like, I'm usually, like, when I should be taking the photo, I'm, like, looking at the screen, like, oh, my God. Like, this is sick. But I know that I'm there to do a job, and, you know, you got to keep it professional and whatnot. And that's one reason I didn't ask him for a ride that day, because I was like, no, I'm not going to be that person to, like, beg for a ride. I'm just going to show up, shoot what I'm supposed to shoot. You know, and I think I maybe spoke to Deegan for 5 minutes at the end. Like, I didn't, you know, get in his way. He had a bunch of other people there, and he was actually trying to get out of there pretty quick to go like fish or something, or on the lake. So I just kept it cool to myself, and that's kind of what I do at the races now. Like, yeah, there's cliques and you have your friends, and but at the end of the day, we're all there to do a job. We're all there to shoot. You know,
we can. Who are you closest with then? Who's your buddy?
At the races?
Yeah.
I would say he don't go to all of them, but Trevor Nelson is super sick. Yeah, like he usually does a lot of the West Coast ones, and his style is unbelievable, and a lot of my work is inspired by him, especially stuff where it all kind of blends together. I don't know if people who follow me know what I'm talking about, but yeah, a lot of that is inspired by Trevor. And I don't take credit for anything, like, you know, all my work is inspired by someone pretty much.
Fair enough. Well, I think you've got some creativity in your own right. Before we get to this next photo, who is on your moto photography Mount Rushmore? Putting you on the spot here, but yeah, like, it has to be moto photographers. There's four of them. Who is it?
So I get four spots.
Four spots.
Cudby.
I knew that guy was going to be on
there. Yeah, Cudby for sure. Mike
has
Emery.
To be.
Cudby, Mike Emery. Let's see. Trevor Nelson. And if I had to pick a fourth.
You have to figure out who you're going to piss off, Garth or...
Oh, yeah, no. Garth or Swanee, either
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Garth gave me a ride to the hotel, like, last, I think it was like Washougal. But now if you go on like Garth's like his personal portfolio page, like the iconic picture of Bubba over the scrub, like where he's just dragging bar on the Suzuki. Like that's a Garth photo. Like, dude, that's sick. Swanee's sick too though. He the stuff he recently just did with Axel out in the desert. Like I don't know if you've seen that yet or not, but those shots were sweet. But yeah, Garth.
The title of this podcast is going to be DNC hates Ryan Swanberg. You know this.
Yeah, let's not do that. I actually, you know, and I'm not going to really say like too much on it, but like I feel like Swan doesn't like me that much anymore. I asked him. I straight up asked him one day. I was like, "Do you not like me?" He was like, "No." I was like, "Okay." I was like, "No, I just left it at that." But who knows?
He lied.
Yeah. I don't know. It's cool. I mean, I still respect them. You know, I at the races, like I've done my fair share to piss a lot of people off, I'm sure, getting in people's way and whatnot.
So. Yeah, it's photography's like that. It is a very delicate thing. Everyone's very serious about what they do. Yeah. It's not easy whatsoever. It's just you got to make your way and you got to do the right thing and do it consistently.
And we all make mistakes too.
Yeah.
Like, I've learned from mine. So now I'm very like diligent of where I am at the track. And I always try to like make sure I'm not blocking anyone. And this goes for like anyone out there who wants to get in the industry. Like just know that if you're new coming in, you're there to do a job. But there's a lot of people who've been there for 20 years who are there to do a more important job or get a more important shot. And they tell us at almost every race, like there's people out there who are required to get shots. And, you know,
yeah,
there's times when I mess people up getting those shots and it's a bummer and I've learned from it. But yeah, just a little bit of advice for anyone who wanted to get in, you know, just know that there's people out there who are there and who've been doing it way longer than you and just be careful.
So with this next photo, the only person who's going to yell at you at this event is Wes. If you happen to get in his way,
yeah,
this is a Verb Classic.
Oh yeah, this is a classic. I don't think Wes is going to get mad at me on this one. This one right here, this is a rough one to talk about. Like, so this was the Verb Classic. I think it was the first one they did. Well, the first one that they had just brought back or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Hey, can I come shoot it for you?" And he was like, "Yeah, dude." And I went out there and I shot it all weekend. Like it was such a sick weekend. It was, the turnout was sick. Chad Reed and them were there. Like there was so Bennick, like a bunch of amateurs that were just top dog. And you know, this kid right here, they had an award called the King of the Classic. It was a tongue twister if you say it like 10 times, but basically what it was, I think it was whoever won the most motos in however many classes they signed up. I think like if you signed up for like C and 25 plus and whatever, whoever had the most signups and most wins was the King of the Classic. And so this right here is Clayton Sane. He ended up winning King of the Classic and it was so sick. Like the kid was hyped. Like everyone, all his friends were hyped. Like Wes was hyped. We were all like running at him when he was winning, when we gave him the award and he couldn't believe it. And just the vibes were like so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was like, it was either the week later or 2 weeks later, or like somewhere like right after that, he went up there to, I believe it was the Cody Cragg Memorial Race in Muddy Creek, Tennessee.
Yep.
And he was racing and his bike blew up over the start, whatever. And he ended up breaking his neck and dying. But
so, whoa.
Yeah. Like you go from like the highest.
Yeah. Like this is one of the greatest moments of his young life there.
Yeah. And then, you know, racing's dangerous and it's a brutal sport that we do. And every rider knows the consequence of it, really. So the consequences that it could have. But yeah, the fact that I shot this photo, you know, and the family ended up using it for like his memorial, and I ended up filming like a whole video compiling. Like I hit up Verb, I hit up everybody, like all my other photographer buddies that were in the class, and I was like, hey, like send me your photos, like I'm gonna put together this like video. And they ended up playing it at his like memorial and whatnot and his funeral. Yeah, so that's kind of how this one is in there.
That's an incredible story, and like I think that sort of speaks volumes to the impact that photography can have. Is there's so many times that you said you take 12,000 photos, a lot of it becomes quote unquote disposable, but for this particular image, and many like it, like for the parents, the loved ones of this young man, these are their like lasting moments.
Yeah.
Of him, you know what I mean? Like this, like if you're a parent who's lost a child, I can only imagine that you've gone over the photos an unlimited amount of times, and will for the rest of your life. And yeah, man, like you capturing this moment was incredibly important, and like it might not have seemed so at the time, but it certainly turned out to be.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. It's like even like you said, like I take millions of freaking photos a year, like cool photos, like of people throwing whips and fire and flame, and we'll get to those. But like this one, just, and it's nothing even crazy, but it's just a good black and white
show. Catches the moment.
Yeah, and it's, kid's like so happy, just, you know, and like a week or two later, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, but yeah. At least I can provide, you know, this moment to his parents for the rest of their lives.
Definitely. That's cool to be able to share that with someone, man. That's cool. I grabbed this off of your social because it was basically one of the first photos from when you must have just started going to the races. Yep. at the local track and stuff like that, because there was like a clear line of like, I'm not doing these types of photos anymore. And it's funny because your portrait photos and your like the event photos had a very specific flavor to them.
Yeah.
Like they had a very, it was kind of a cool, like all the images were kind of cooled off, a lot of purples, a lot of greens mixed in there. And then this stuck out to me. What's going on here?
If you scroll down my feed, yeah, it goes from like super crazy, like dirt bike racing. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, it's like completely different style up change. But yeah, you were right, this is definitely one of the first local races right at the road for me. I think the caption of this was like, trying the acid trip, or I found some of that acid Mike was talking about, something like that. And that refers back to Mike Emery from Align. He does super, like, this is one of my favorite styles in photography. It's just like slow shutter with a flash and just making weird shit go on. And that's where this came from. I saw him, I saw Mike doing it, and I was like, you know what? I want to try that at a local race. And if you try this shot in daylight, which this was still daylight, like it don't really work that good. It needs to be kind of dark. That's why it works for Supercross. Because it's dark in the stadiums, but it was kind of overcast and it was in the shadows and it kind of worked. And honestly, it's not really my favorite like rendition of it, I guess you could say, but it was me attempting it.
Yeah, honestly, the reason why I grabbed it is I could tell that this was like probably your first stab at this sort of shot.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. And you know, me at the time, I was like, oh dude, you know, this is sick, like I'm not going to shoot a Supercross race. This is as close as I'm going to get to having lights and whatnot. And I posted it and people digged it. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll keep trying this style. But again, this style, I completely credit to Mike Emery. If he ever watches this, like that dude is the man of this. And I try it even at the races today. Like I get like a good one every now and then, but like his are just, I don't know what he does. We shoot with the same camera, the same lens, everything. And for some reason, his are just better than mine. I don't know what it is.
Hey,
But.
It's not the equipment, man. It's the operator.
Yeah, dude.
Like if that were the case, I'd snipe your camera out of your hands and head down there myself.
Yeah.
And I'd probably be still walking around in running man mode. It doesn't even have that. I assume.
Yeah, they still have auto.
Yeah, it should have auto. Yeah, it's funny.
No,
you shoot full manual though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough. How did you start to figure out like the different settings, like what to change your f-stop, your aperture, all that fun stuff? Like you just that trial and error.
Yeah, pretty much. Like when I got into it, like I went like when I got into photography back in like 2012, I like when I get into something, like I dive deep into it, and I watched a bunch of Fro Knows Photo on YouTube, if anybody knows who that is. He's like a tutorial guy. I watched hours and hours and hours on how to shoot manual and whatnot, and just started going out in the yard and toying with manual settings. And now, thankfully, at the races, like Supercross is pretty hard to shoot at on some tracks because the lighting is just horrible, and you really got to know what you're doing to shoot manual out there.
And there's a lot of shit in the air too.
Yeah, there's a lot. So if you're not shooting manual at a lot of Supercross races, you're gonna just get trash images. It's like, because you got to crank your ISO way up there, and then you got to like fix it later. It's a lot of work.
Have you ever been able to shoot with a flash at all, or do they let you?
Yeah. So that, there was a brief stint last year when during racing, we weren't allowed to use flash, but then I think Mike and all them, they went to Sean and they asked a bunch of riders like, "Hey, does this bother you or whatever?" And they're like, "No." And they finally, luckily, started letting us use flash during the racing. But that's how most of those blurry shots are taken. Like behind the line, you put a flash on your camera. Mm-hmm. You slow your shutter speed down, and then you just freaking twist away until you get one, if you're lucky.
Perfect. What ends up on the cutting room floor for you guys, as much as you guys come up with some unbelievable photos, you're like, what the fuck is that?
Dude, I shoot 12,000, like, I shoot 12,000 photos a weekend, and I narrow that down to about 2,000, but what you see on my Instagram is like probably I usually put
like
20 aside
photos from the
yeah
weekend.
I usually put aside like 20 just absolute bangers, and that's it. Like most of the rest of them are just kind of like just typical shots that you would see, which granted, when you're shooting for clients on the floor, like you don't got time to go run up to the top of the stadium and just shoot. Like if it was up to me, again, this is another idea that I saw a line do, and I would love to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they took a shot at Petco Park where they had God, what's his name? I forget his name right off the top of my tongue. But he went – they had Mike and all them still in the stadium, but he went across the street to a hotel and went on top of the hotel outside of Petco,
mm-hmm.
shot just a massive shot of the hotel and the firework or of the stadium and the fireworks going on inside of it. And it is like the most sickish, like that's the creative shit that I like. Like that's what I want to do, is just have full creative control. But you know, when you're shooting for people, you got certain shots you got to get. So you don't really have time to, you know, get out there and do that cool stuff.
Fair enough. Can be a little bit difficult.
I try to get like, I'll see a shot early in the week at the track and I'm like, all right, I know this is here. This is a cool shot that I think would look cool later on. If I have time, I'll run and grab it. And sometimes it works.
Yeah, and like it's a learning experience too. Like I went to Loretta Lynn's to shoot for the first time this year. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I didn't shoot in 2023 because yeah, that would be licensed to ruin cameras. Like I think. Tom destroyed a zoom camera in the process, but throughout the week you start to realize like what areas of the track is going to have what kind of light and when, and you know what I mean, like because the sun's going to move around throughout the day, Same thing with a place like Colorado. When you go there, and it's sort of like if you shoot later in the day, all the sun's going to be at it's, everything's going to be backlit versus in the sun in the morning, everything's like the foreground, whatnot. So it's kind of neat. I wish this photo had turned out better as far as how I must have saved it shitty. But it still looks pretty impressive as it is. First of all, he's got the big old number one in the air, red boots, and it literally looks like Hayden Deegan is bursting into flames.
Yeah.
Tell me about this photo.
Oh, dude, this is probably number one shot for me for now.
I'm so glad that I saved it shitty and then it's blurry as all fuck then, yeah.
It's fine. Just go look at it on Instagram. It looks better.
Yeah.
But
That was secretly the reason why this is, looks like crap, is so
yeah.
that I can send people to your Instagram.
Yeah. No, this shot was really cool. Like I said, it's probably my favorite to date. And the reason for that is that it was at our was it Arlington? The Speedway SMX round last year. And everybody, when it comes down to like the last 2 minutes of a race, everyone's like scattering to get to where they want to shoot that finish at.
Yep.
And once you're in that spot, it's hard. Like if say you see a lot of shots, I do them too, where you get like a wide angle of the finish from like almost right under the takeoff of the jump. And I was toying with that idea. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do that. You'll get the crowd in the background, you'll get the whole stadium and the crowd in the background. But there was already like two guys over there getting that angle. So I like booked it, and this was a long track to go around. There was like no tunnels to go under, so I had to run all the way around the track. And I got around there, I was freaking out of breath, and I seen this horde of photographers kind of almost face on with the landing. And I was like, well, I guess that's the spot. But what I do is a lot of times at these races, I always look for where that big fireball pyro thing is positioned. And I knew that it was kind of like right behind the finish line. And I was like, all right, this is like a epic timing thing. Can't believe it worked out. But you already had your two guys getting the wide angle. You had 30 plus other dudes shooting it straight on. And I was the only one that decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go all the way down right beside the start or the finish line and try it. Cause I was like, hopefully the fireball will go off as soon as he goes over the finish line. Hopefully it will be properly exposed. And hopefully Deegan does something cool. And sure enough, it all worked out. Perfect timing. I was the only one that got this shot that weekend. And yeah, it was just super sick. And like earlier with the Barsha one, it was like four frames blurry, perfectly center, like in focus, and then the rest of them were like kind of blurry, out of focus a little bit, which
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Like, yeah, this is your key frame, if you can call it that. It worked out absolutely perfect. It literally looks like the explosion is coming out of Hayden. And, it's a little bit of a microcosm for obviously, like, this is this last year, correct? 'Cause he was already wearing the number one from being the SMX champion from the previous year. And yeah, well, he's got the Deegan like the Danger Boy helmet scheme on there. I think it's really neat that Star Racing Yamaha has basically allowed him to sort of cut himself out of the herd, because they always look the same. But for him, they're like, ah, we understand this guy's special. Although I think Cole Davies is gonna have something to say about that this
Dude,
year,
Cole is sick, dude.
dude. And he's
Cole.
slick with it too.
Yeah, like this past weekend we were at Glendale, and Deegan and Cole, like Cole was out front just throwing the like sickest turndown whips over the triples, and then Deegan just falling right behind him, just getting sick with it too. But like, dude, Cole looks good. Like, and I freaking like Deegan gets a lot of haters, but me,
Of
I'm a
course.
Deegan fan because honestly, if it wasn't for Deegan, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now, because that's kind of how I got in with Verb. Like, I heard that Negan was coming to one of my local tracks, and I was like, oh crap. And this was back when he was on the Super Mini.
Yeah.
So I was like, Deegan's coming. I gotta call out of work. I gotta get down to the track and I gotta shoot him. And I showed up and I shot it and I sent it to Verb. And that's the first time I ever spoke to Verb and Weston. I was like, hey, I got these shots of Hayden on a Super Mini. Do y'all want them? And they took them, and that's kind of how I made that connection. And then eventually it led me to shooting this. So, like a chain of reactions. And
yeah,
there's no other person that I would want that. I mean, there's a bunch of people that this shot would be sick with, but like the fact that it's him is cool. A lot of people actually thought this shot was fake too. Like the fire was like added in, but no, this is all real.
Neat. That is super, super cool. So that's it. That's all, man. Where can people follow and where are they going to find your work? Like when they see stuff on social, and actually this is one of the questions I like to, I kind of ask of my, of guests on here is, what is a sort of some signature characteristics of a DNC photo?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram at DNC Photos, or pretty much Moto Playground. Anything you see from like a pro race, like Supercross or outdoors, that's photo related throughout the day on a race weekend comes from me 90% of the time. But a signature DNC photo is, I think a lot of people like to stick to like natural looking colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love a good natural looking color. There's a lot of photos that I do that style where it just kind of looks natural, a little bit contrasty, but something just about a freaking like almost oversaturated colorful mess to me is cool. Like if you,
okay. I did
this thing this year, like
color vomit.
Yeah. And I like to do one style that I've kind of done. I picked up on Trevor Nelson's, like it's like screen blending photos.
Yep.
But I started turning them into like a 10 slide panorama.
Yep.
And they all just merge together and it just makes this like one long consecutive weird mess of a photo, really. But people dig it. I think it looks cool. I haven't really seen other people in the industry doing it. There's like maybe a few that try it, but yeah, that's kind of my style. Just bright, colorful, crazy, sharp stuff.
Fair enough. Well, dude, I appreciate you making some time. I know you're still trying to get some go live later. I don't know if we've dipped too far into that for this evening. I know you got to go to work first thing tomorrow morning. But yeah, this has been really fun to have you on the podcast. I hope that we can. I know I'll see you at a race coming up in the next little while here. But yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me. This is like the first podcast I've ever done. So like,
I'm cool.
Like a nervous wreck, but
dude, hey, no, I think you crushed it.
This is fun to do. And, yeah, I like the series. I watched the one you did yesterday, or I watched one yesterday that you did with a Post It Random to kind of get prepared. So this is a cool series. And, you know, I'd like to see other people on here, 'cause I geek out over people's shots and, you know, stuff like that. So.
Well, I've got a verbal confirmation from Mike. So, and you can awesome. Say that you did it before he did.
Hell yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know if he watches this, but yeah, if he does, dude, he's the man. Like him, everyone out there is so sick, and nothing but respect for those guys. And thanks for treating me fairly, I guess.
Dude. Yeah, you're a rock star, and yeah, you should believe that of yourself. So don't hang up just yet. But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there. Everyone go follow DNC Photos on Instagram. Thanks for listening.